morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimek, and I am back in the studios of Holy Spirit Radio. Had a great time in Birmingham, Alabama at EWTN, but I'm back now, and I'm ready to help you get your day started with Spirit in the Morning. Why don't we kick it off with prayer as we do each day? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God Almighty, you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Defend us today by your mighty power, so that we may not fall into any sin, and that all our words may so proceed and all our thoughts and actions be so directed as to always be just in your sight. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That was the prayer to keep the presence of God. That's something we really want to work on each and every day. We want to remember that we are in God's presence. You know how it is? You're driving in traffic. You get cut off by somebody. You get a little stressed out because you're being tailgated. What do? You forget sometimes that you are in the presence of God. Now, if you think about that, if you keep that in mind, you might not be as willing to make that gesture or to get mad or say something you maybe shouldn't say. So keep that in mind, the presence of God. He's always with you. He's always watching you wherever you are and whatever you do. And as I look across the table today, I realize I'm being watched by Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Welcome back.
Hey, Dave, it's good to be able
it's
to
been
see
a while.
You. Yeah. I know, because the past couple of days I was staring at myself in the mirror. And now I'm looking at you. And you know what? I think I liked it better the other way.
Thank you.
Sorry, Dave.
Likewise, man. Likewise.
Couldn't resist that.
I know.
It is good to be back here, although I have to say the weather in Birmingham was in the 70s. It was about 72 degrees. When I got off the plane yesterday in Philly, it was, mid-50s, but it felt very cold because you had that rainy chill in the air.
Oh, yeah.
But still, this is January. Today's what, January the 18th?
So yes.
This is not bad for January. We'll do the complete forecast in a little while. We got a really good show today for you. In addition to our regular features, our Be Not Afraid Bible verse, our usual selection of music, and some inspirational material, we've got special guests today. We have two guests, and they're going to be joining us on the phone. John and Therese Boucher will be joining us from up in the New England area. John used to be the director of evangelization for the Diocese of Trenton. I got to know him there. He and his wife are going to talk about how we can evangelize, how we can share the good news of Jesus Christ with those around us. Dave, that's something that many Catholics struggle with. A lot of times we think that's right. We shouldn't do that. That's not our job.
Yes. Yeah. We're more reserved. A lot of from the, I guess, the old school training, if you will, and just by personality. Some people just are not in their comfort zone to do that. They'd have to venture out.
Right. And you hear a lot of comments in the world today about faith is a personal matter. We shouldn't impose our religious views on somebody. Well, that's not what we're doing when we're evangelizing. We're sharing Jesus Christ. We found this great treasure of Christ in our life, and we want to share him with others. So John and Therese have been doing this for many years, and they're going to share some tips on how we could share Jesus with those around us. So I'm looking forward to having them on the program.
Looking forward.
And also, while I'm thinking of it, tomorrow on the show we'll be joined by Father Dan Horan. He wrote a book called God Is Not Fair. And I love that title. It really caught my attention. God is not fair. And it's a good thing he isn't. I mean, because we think,
absolutely.
Right? I mean, think about this.
Yes.
Look how he treats us. Dave, if you and me, we do nice things for one another. You do something nice for me. I'm not going to turn around and say, well, Dave was nice to me, so I'm not going to do anything for him.
Yeah.
We tend to have that false sense of fairness.
Exactly.
Well, listen, you were nice to me, Dave, and therefore I'm going to be nice to you. Mm-hmm. But if you were a jerk to me, would
I be
as...
And then you reciprocated in kind.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
But God isn't... You know, so what happens sometimes, unfortunately, is we create this version of God who is based upon our own conditional love. So in other words, you do something for me, I'll do something for you, but God doesn't work that way. So he wrote a whole book about this, some nice reflections in that
our
book.
Our puny thinking sometimes.
Right. We try to box God in or pigeonhole him, but he's bigger than that. So Father Dan's going to join us. And then Friday, Shane Kapler will be joining us to talk about his new book, which combines the devotion of the Divine Mercy Novena and the Rosary. and how those two devotions are very comparable. And Shane's a good guy, good author, speaker, so he's going to be with us on Friday. So we have lots of good things. And later in the show, I'll let you know what's coming up next week and beyond, because, Dave, we have got some great programs coming up on Spirit in the Morning.
Even better programs?
Even better.
Wow.
Even better. So we constantly try to improve around here.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we do.
Some people have told me that we have plenty of room for improvement. Well, that's a good thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I've gotten that, too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go but up for us, Parker.
I can see the top of the well, you know.
Oh, man. And
anyway.
In a couple minutes, we're going to read the gospel. So how has it been in the studio since when I wasn't here?
You really want to know?
Yeah.
No, it's been good. It's been lonely. You know, the interaction that it just doesn't come across when you're remote, okay? But yeah, so I'm glad you're back, you know, because I could look at you when I'm talking at you and vice versa. And Frank's in there. He's monitoring the situation. But it's good to have the team back in whole.
That's right. You guys didn't have donuts or anything while I was going.
I'm not telling you.
Yeah, see that? Every time I go away, something fun happens.
Yeah. No, we did not. My waistline, thanks. Thanks, everybody, for that, you know.
But it is always great to be back in the studio. You know, traveling is an interesting experience when you travel in airports. Dave, that's one of the things that reminds you that, and you've done your share of traveling.
Oh, boy, yes.
It reminds you that you're not really in control.
Yes, it does.
And with our lives, sometimes we like to think we're in control.
Yes.
And we lose sight of that fact. But you spend some time in an airport and on a plane, and you realize you're not the guy in charge.
That's true. That's true.
And I think, but here's another thing. Most of us will get on a plane and not feel the urge to knock on the cockpit door and tell the pilot, now listen, Mr. Pilot, here's how I think we should go. I think we should go east or west take this route. It's faster. We trust that he knows what he's doing.
Yes. And in this day and age, if you did that, you may be escorted off.
That's exactly
handcuffs.
Right.
Be careful.
That's exactly right. But we trust that he knows what he's doing. Now, how about God? Do we trust God in the same way? Quite often we don't, and we want to tell him how to do his job. We question what's happening. But if we would just surrender a little bit each day, we'll get a lot more peace in our lives, and we'll also really start to understand the way he works and see that he'll choose some unconventional ways to do things.
Oh, boy, will he.
And that's his that's his M.O. He's done that throughout history.
Yeah.
And he's done that in my life as well. But if we learn to trust, we're going to be a lot better off. So that's my lesson. It's amazing how you can get these little practical lessons from day-to-day experiences.
Oh, absolutely. I think those are the best.
Yeah.
Not some huge epiphany every day, you know, that's going to just explode our world. It's sometimes the very small messages.
Yeah, you know, I got another one, too, today. It's interesting. I drive up here from Cinnaminson, New Jersey, so it's about an hour drive for me to the station each day. And I drive, as you do, in complete darkness.
Yes.
Now, I'll go home, and that road will be completely light on the way home.
Yes.
Same road, same path. One way I'm going in darkness, another way is in the light.
Wow.
It's a lot easier.
That's pretty profound.
Well, I'm going to get even more profound than that.
But so true. Yeah, it's like, go ahead. I don't want to slow you down.
Yeah, that wasn't profound yet. Wait till you see where I'm going with this. I mean,
I'm
just... yeah, now I'm going to get really profound. But seriously, same road, darkness, light. If we stick with the Lord, Jesus Christ, the light of the world in our life, things are going to be a lot clearer. So even though we are traveling an uncertain path with Jesus, the light, things will be a lot more apparent.
Very good.
And he lights the way. So that's what I was noticing.
I love that. I love that.
But
I got plenty
of time to think, Dave, on the way over.
Okay.
So that's what I think and pray. That's what I do. Speaking of prayer and spiritual matters, why don't we read today's gospel? Today's gospel comes from Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Jesus entered the synagogue. There was a man there who had a withered hand. They watched Jesus closely to see if he would cure him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, "Come up here before us." Then he said to the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath rather than to do evil, to save life rather than to destroy it?" But they remained silent, looking around at them with anger and grieved by their hardness of heart. Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately took counsel with the Herodians against Jesus to put him to death. We've looked at the Pharisees and their antics over the past couple of days, and we see again, here they are, trying to trip up Jesus.
Those pesky Pharisees.
They're just waiting for him to mess up so they could see, aha, we told you this guy was a phony.
Exactly.
You know, their hardness, they have hardness of heart. Jesus is curing a man whose hand is withered, a man whose hand is handicapped, who can't function in a way that's complete because he's got a bad hand. Jesus heals him. And they're looking for something that he did wrong.
Exactly.
And they missed the miracle.
Exactly.
Right?
Totally.
Hardness of heart.
Yes.
They're annoyed that he's working on the Sabbath. You cannot cure on the Sabbath. Never mind you just cured this man.
Yeah, they're looking for reasons why, you know, why he's messed up, you know?
Right.
Per the law of the day.
Right. Because they know better than the Lord. Now, let's project that image on us. Right now, it's easy to poke fun at the Pharisees because they look really dumb throughout the Gospels. They look like they're very very hard of heart. They're very short-sighted. But yet we do the same thing in so many ways. When we see somebody, you know, look, this has happened to many of us. We see somebody, either a public figure or somebody we know, and they say something good or they say something positive or they say something about their faith. And what do we think sometimes? Oh, yeah, they don't really mean that. Or
exactly,
they don't really believe what they're saying. I know they're a hypocrite. Well, how do we know? We're not in their heads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very guilty of this sometimes.
Good, me too. Good point, though.
So let's let the Lord talk to us today. And yeah, I don't want to imply that I'm not someone who does this. I do this, and I don't want to do this. But when I hear Jesus speak in these words and I see this incident in the gospel, I realize that he's talking to me. So let's try as best as we can to not be Pharisees. These guys were trying to do what's right. They were trying to worship God in the best way possible, but they got off the track a little bit.
Yeah, it was in the way they were taught, and they knew, and
correct.
They would not deviate from that.
Correct, correct. So therefore, and they also didn't want to let anybody in. They were a very exclusive group.
Mm-hmm.
We do it this way, and we're the chosen ones, and everybody else, forget them.
Exactly, yeah. Either get on board or get out of the way
kind of
mentality.
And that's what we really want to be careful about. Jesus dealt with everybody. Jesus dined with the sinners. That's me, and I feel good about that. And Jesus never excluded anybody, so we want to be careful that we don't exclude anybody. It doesn't mean we compromise the truth either. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. He founded a church, and his church is correct, right? We can't mess with that. But we also have to be careful that we don't alienate people. We want to try to bring Christ to them. That's why I'm glad we're going to be talking about evangelization. The one final point I want to make about this gospel is, what did Jesus do when the man came up to him? First of all, he said, come up here. He asked him to do something. Come up here before us. And then Jesus said to the man, stretch out your hand. Then he healed him. See, when Jesus wants to heal us, when he wants to help us with our problems, he expects us to do something. He's going to do the heavy lifting, but he expects us to walk up before him, to approach him, to stretch out our hand, if you will, to do what we can.
Absolutely.
And
we have a role in this.
That's right. That's right. So if you have a problem in your life, make sure you do what you can to fix it. Right? That's important. He expects you to try to fix it on your own. If you can control something that you're concerned about in your life, go ahead and do it. But at the same time, make sure you turn to him and let him do his miraculous thing, because that's what Jesus does. He's a miracle worker. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. The time right now is 7:14. When we come back from the break, it's time for some little-known facts. The Did You Know segment, one of my favorites, is coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for January 18th. Today we celebrate St. Charles of Setzi. Some people go through life doing good deeds that attract attention. Others, like St. Charles of Setzi, just do good deeds. Born southeast of Rome in 1613, Charles was inspired by some of the early followers of Francis to become a Franciscan himself. In his autobiography, The Grandeurs of the Mercies of God, Charles explained, "Our Lord put in my heart a great desire to be poor and to beg alms for his love. The young friar got his wish. He served as a cook, sacristan, gardener, and beggar at various friaries in Italy. As doorkeeper, he was kept busy distributing food to the needy, but the more he gave away, the more alms increased. Charles also was sought for spiritual advice. One such person was Pope Clement IX, who called for the friar to his deathbed for a final blessing. On the surface, little in the life of today's saint was noteworthy, but if we go deeper, we see that his entire life was spectacular in his utter cooperation with God's grace. St. Charles of Assisi died in 1670. Pope John XXIII canonized him in 1959. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
Jesus Christ, my
Beautiful name. What do you think about that song? It was Hillsong Worship. That gets you fired up in the morning. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. 722 on Spirit of the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek along with Dave Parker. We're coming to you live from Doylestown from our studios in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. Let me do the weather for you briefly. Today's weather. Today, a slight chance of shower. It showers in the Philadelphia area before 9 a.m. Patchy fog also. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 52 today. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 36 degrees. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 53. Pretty amazing for January that
we're
in the 50s.
Hey, Gary, can I say something?
You always can say something.
What happened? I think Frank and I asked you to bring some of the Birmingham weather.
I know.
What
it didn't,
happened?
I'm sorry, Dave. I forgot.
Did TSA?
Yeah, they confiscated it from me.
Oh, man.
That's okay. A good one. Oh, hey, boy. Today, I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I want to call attention to this one more time. Today is Wednesday, January the 18th. Later on today at 10 a.m. to be specific, Archbishop Charles Chaput will launch the 2017 Catholic Charities Appeal. That's going to be taking place at St. Catherine Day School, the Wynwood campus, 930 Bowman Avenue in Wynwood, Pennsylvania. For more information about the Catholic Charities Appeal, visit CatholicCharitiesAppeal.org. So we're going to try to have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Okay. I like to inform people. That's why I do this show. I like to inform. I like to educate.
Man, you're a font of knowledge.
You're
and
looking
wisdom.
At me like I'm crazy, Dave.
No, I just wanted to say that. You have a lot of knowledge.
Well, I have this segment.
You told me so.
Yes. Very good. I have this segment that I like to do called Did You Know? We did it last week. I thought it's time to bring it back again while we have a few minutes. Some little known facts. And Dave, you may know some of these. You may not know some of these. But I thought it would be a good time to educate you and our listening audience.
I love this segment.
Dave Parker.
I love all segments, but this one is fun.
Thank you. In Tokyo, Dave, did you know that a bicycle is faster than a car for most trips of less than 50 minutes?
I did not know that.
It's pretty. That shows you there's some serious traffic in Tokyo.
Thanks for the warning
if we ever go
over there. You know?
That's right. There are no clocks in Las Vegas gambling casinos. Did you know that one?
I did not know that, but I understand why.
That's right. Tablecloths were originally meant to be served as towels with which dinner guests could wipe their hands and faces after eating. I think you still do that, don't you?
I was just going to say, you're reading my mind. That's exactly what it is. Have you ever...
You're thinking, well, that's not a little-known fact. Of course that's what tablecloths are.
I do that all the time.
You might
folks.
Want to talk to your wife about that one.
She'll educate you. No. All right.
Do you know how many times a hedgehog's heart beats per minute?
No, I've never taken. I've never captured
know, I
one.
I can't believe you don't know this,
no,
Dave.
I never took the pulse. Or
300
the...
times a minute
wow.
on average.
Wow.
All right. Did you know, Dave, that the placement of a donkey's eyes in its head enables it to see all 4 feet at all times?
I did not know that. Right? I did have animal biology, but we didn't cover that.
That's
part.
Right. Okay. Now, how about this one? Ancient Egyptians slept on pillows made of stone.
I think I had heard that.
Boy, yeah. That sounds painful. Yeah.
And I think I have one at home. No.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. A hippo can open its mouth wide enough to fit a 4-foot-tall child inside.
No kidding.
Yeah. That's how
I didn't know
he
that.
He can open his mouth up to 4 feet. Now, when we were at
did they take a 4-foot child to get that measurement?
Now, when we were at the Marianne Pastry Shop, I think your mouth opened to about 3 feet, but you couldn't. All right.
That was good, Gary.
That was good. We haven't talked about that. That was a fun day.
Hey, man. You're on a roll, buddy.
I am. Okay, hummingbirds can weigh less than a penny. Okay. The average person, now take a guess at this. Now, don't think too hard, but the average person has how many dreams per year? What would you think?
Year?
Per year? What? Just a rough guess.
10,000.
Really?
Yeah.
It's actually 1,460. See, okay. I can never figure you out. I thought you would say one dream per night, 365, and you thought 10,000.
Well, maybe 10, I was going on my own. I dream a lot now.
You sure do. You sure do. Okay. But this is very interesting facts. One car out of every 230 made last year was stolen.
Really?
One out of every 200.
Was that right off the assembly line, or was that later?
I don't know the rules. I don't know the details. But A lightning bolt generates temperatures 5 times hotter than those found at the sun's surface.
I did know that.
That's incredible.
I had, yeah, I was aware of that.
Wow. Forest fires move faster uphill than downhill.
Hmm. Okay. Okay. Probably because of an updraft, maybe. Now I'm trying to think.
Okay. Now listen. Boy, you are pretty smart. That's why I like having you on this segment. You fill in some of the gaps here. I just read them. You analyze them. Okay. How long does it take glass to decompose?
Is that with or without alcohol in it? I don't know. I'm sorry.
What do you think?
I would say probably 1,000+ years.
Listen to this. It takes glass 1 million years decompose,
yeah.
Which means it never wears out and can be recycled an infinite amount of times.
I think we have some of those in our cabinet, you know, at home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. No piece of square dry paper, and you can try this at home if you want. No piece of square dry paper can be folded more than 7 times in half.
Oh.
Now, I've never tried that, but if you have a piece of paper, a square piece of paper, try to fold it more than 7 times.
You know who I think might know all that stuff? The people that do that origami stuff, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
I wonder if they would know that.
That's true.
Here
the
we go
first,
to break.
The
here.
First product to have a barcode?
Milk?
Wrigley's gum.
Wrigley's
first
gum.
Product to have a barcode. There you go, the Did You Know segment for today. I'm Gary Zimak. It's 7:28. You're listening to Spirit of the Morning. When we come back, we're going to be talking about evangelization. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit radio news update. Expect President Obama to commute the prison sentences of more people convicted of crimes. Yesterday, Obama granted clemency to 273 people, including Bradley Manning, the transgender Army intelligence officer who leaked more than 700,000 U.S. documents and was given 35 years in federal prison. He now identifies as Chelsea Manning. The White House says more commutations should come by tomorrow, but they'll focus on drug offenders and probably won't be anyone well known. The Supreme Court is considering a First Amendment challenge to a law barring the government from registering trademarks that are deemed offensive. The justices will hear arguments today in a dispute involving an Asian American band called The Slants that was denied a trademark because the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office says the name disparages Asians. The band says the 70-year-old law barring offensive trademarks violates free speech rights. The Presidential Inauguration Committee says Donald Trump will be sworn in as president on Friday using 2 Bibles, his own and the Bible that Abraham Lincoln used at his first inauguration. The oath of office will be administered by Chief Justice John Roberts. Mike Pence will use Ronald Reagan's family Bible when he's sworn in as Donald Trump's vice president on Friday. He'll be the first person to use that Bible during an inauguration ceremony since the former president himself. With this Holy Spirit radio news update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
My name is Joe Zimmerman, and my brother and I own Summers and Zims. We would be pleased to provide you with high-quality service for all your plumbing, heating, and air conditioning needs. We are pleased to serve the listeners in Westchester, Exton, Downingtown, Coatesville, and Kennett Square. Our phone number at Summers and Zims is 610-593-5129, or you can simply Google Summers and Zims. My prayer is that God would bless you through His Word as you listen to Holy Spirit Radio.
You're listening to Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes. Thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. 17-year-old Seth Goldstein from Cooper Yeshiva School in Memphis was in the middle of a heated cross-country race with a chance at winning. All of a sudden, he saw a runner from the competing school fall down and start writhing on the floor. Everyone else kept running, but Goldstein immediately knelt down beside the boy to help, tending to him as best he could until paramedics arrived. Then Goldstein finished the race, with everyone from both schools cheering him on from the sidelines. Gil Pearl, the dean of Cooper Yeshiva, praised his students' actions and added, "We have the concept from the Talmud. If you want God to have mercy on you, you have to have mercy on others." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
And that was B1 by Natalie Grant. I'm Gary Zimek. As I struggle to get on my headphones, you never know what's going to happen here. I'm all twisted, so bear with me. I got the cord twisted around my chair. Oh, man, that's a great song because here's what she reminds us of in that song. The message is, don't wait for the miracle to come to you. You might be the miracle. You might be that one person who's going to make a difference in somebody else's life. That's something we all need to keep in mind. Your current spirit in the morning time is 7:35. I'm Gary Zimek. Let me give you the quick weather forecast today. Today, a slight chance of showers before 9 a.m. Otherwise, it's going to be cloudy with a high near 52 degrees today. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 53 degrees. And then Friday, we'll have a chance of rain with a high near 48 degrees. Not too shabby for January. Now, I want to tell you, we are in the midst of trying to contact our guests, John and Therese Boucher. We're having some telephone problems, so we're going to keep trying to get them on the line. In the meantime, I want to take a look at an article that I recently found on the internet, 10 Reasons Why Catholics Don't Evangelize But Should. And that's something that a lot of us We have trouble with that as Catholics for one reason or another, evangelizing. I don't like to share the good news with somebody else because I'm going to be imposing on them or because I'm not qualified to do it, one reason after another. This is 10 reasons why Catholics don't evangelize but should. It's written by my friend, Father Dwight Longenecker. He writes some brilliant articles. He's a speaker, and he really nails it with this. 10 reasons why Catholics don't evangelize but should. The first one, cultural Catholicism. A lot of American Catholics regard their religion like Jews do. It's something you're born into. Now, I can really relate to this because I've struggled throughout my life with this idea. And, you know, this turned around for me now, obviously, because I'm into full-time ministry. But for years, I thought Catholics don't talk about their faith. It's just not something we do. We want to understand that the church teaches that we are called to evangelize. We are called to share the good news with others. But oftentimes, we're Catholic. We don't think that we're called to share the good news. The second reason, over-sacramentalization. And Father Longenecker says, that's just a long word way of saying that Catholics put so much emphasis on the sacraments that it's difficult for many of them to see that in and through the sacramental system is, and Dave, I love this message, a genuine encounter of the person with Jesus Christ, risen, ascended, and glorified.
Wow.
That's what's happening when we receive the sacraments.
That's the bottom line.
Right? And that's what we're all about here on this show.
Exactly.
We're trying to share Jesus with others. We're trying to remind you that he's real and he wants to be a part of your life. Yeah.
That is essentially it. In a way, it's very simple. It's very simple. It comes down to those three words.
Now, and this next step, and I don't want to say these opinions of 10 reasons why Catholics don't evangelize but should. These are the opinions of Father Longenecker. I agree with most of them, but, you know, you might disagree with some of them. The third one, and you might take offense at this, I'll have to say. Third reason why Catholics don't evangelize, Dave?
Why?
RCIA.
Really?
And he says, what is that, a company that used to make electronics? Of course, we know the RCIA system is the rite of Christian initiation for adults.
Yes.
It's the way converts like you, Dave, you went through RCIA.
Actually, I came in before RCIA was established.
Okay. So basically it's training to teach
individuals
about the faith. Now, I did participate. I was one of the instructors in RCIA. I did it for a few years. And we worked really hard to make sure that we were truly instructing these people coming into the church that this is about you and Jesus and his church.
Yes.
It's more than just, here are the rules, follow the rules. This is a personal encounter with Christ.
Gary, I was going to say, that's how old I am.
Yeah, you really are old.
Yeah, I converted mid-70s.
Okay.
Folks. Yeah.
So Jesus taught you directly, right? That's how old you are?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he had a hand in it, along with a good mentor, spiritual mentor, Father Zeitler.
Listen to what Father, and Father's a little outspoken sometimes. I know Father Longenecker. He writes some, and he speaks very frank. In a very frank manner. Listen to what he says. The whole RCIA system is often cumbersome and user-unfriendly. If you have someone who's interested in becoming a Catholic, you have to tell them about RCIA, which starts in the fall. So what do you do when they come in April, he says, and then goes through for months until Easter. Now, listen to what he goes on to say. Meanwhile, Pastor Bob at the local Protestant church says, come to church, sign up, you're in.
Yeah.
Proper catechesis is necessary, and that's, I know, Father.
I like this.
He really believes in proper catechesis, and he's a really good and holy priest. But a more creative and flexible approach would help.
I think this is spot on.
I
haven't read the article, folks, but I'm going to read that, because I agree just what Gary has shared with us so far.
Right. Now, the thing to remember is, if you're involved in RCIA, please don't take offense at this, but maybe look at it as a challenge.
Yeah.
What can you do? You might be doing a great job. Just make sure you're reminding the participants about Jesus.
Yeah,
he's the real reason why we do anything.
Exactly. What comes to mind, Gary, if you don't mind, shortly, it's structured. In a way, it's so structured, it kind of... You know, the spontaneity, the access all the time is not there.
Right.
It's too structured.
Now, number four, church or Jesus. Too many Catholics confuse evangelization with getting people to join the Catholic Church.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting? The primary task of evangelization is meeting people where they are.
Wow, where have we heard that before?
Yeah, right. And introducing them to Jesus Christ. It is possible to do this without bringing in the Catholic Church with its whole devotional and sacramental system. It is possible to talk to someone in need and say, you need to get right with God. Mm-hmm. You need to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of Mercy, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That's the first step.
Absolutely.
And this is a Catholic priest saying this. He's not saying it's the only step, but it's the first step.
Mm-hmm.
The first step isn't to somebody in need. Well, you need to become Catholic and go through RCIA. Right?
Yeah. Here, go into this. Excuse me, folks. Go into this system right away.
Right.
And that's what I mean. It's, in a way, it's too structured.
That might be the second step.
It could be it dampens things down.
Right.
Spontaneity.
The first step is to talk about Jesus and to be positive. The fifth reason why Catholics don't evangelize: social gospel. A lot of Catholics think the church's primary way of evangelizing people is by helping them. It's true that an important aspect of evangelization is social welfare, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, healing the sick, bringing justice to the oppressed. All of that is good stuff and must not be neglected. It's also a powerful witness to the authenticity of the Catholic message. And then Father said, however, just doing that isn't enough. We need to give the people the bread of life as well as a sandwich. Many Catholics never breathe a word about their faith, but are busy in the soup kitchen.
Soup kitchen is
good. Actively sharing the faith is also good and necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's both.
It is both. Yeah.
It's not either or. It's both and.
Exactly. I agree with that.
We've got to do the works of mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Works of mercy.
Right?
Yes.
Corporal works and the spiritual
and
works
the spiritual
of mercy.
Works of mercy. Absolutely.
We've got to do both. But we have to talk about our faith and talk about Jesus as
it
well.
It has to be a balance, folks.
Listen to this one. Step number six, ignorance. And all he says about this is too many Catholics simply don't know their faith well enough to share it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I find that to be true.
That's true, but what do? We need to work on that. We need to learn,
absolutely,
as John Martinoni, who we had on the show, said, we need to learn a little bit more about our faith every day. What's one of the best ways to do it? It's the way that I did it, and I continue to do it, by listening to Holy Spirit Radio.
Absolutely, Gary. Yes.
If you keep reading the Bible. That's right. You do those things. You start with the radio. You read the Bible. You're going to read the catechism if you can. But start with the radio. That's a great place to start.
Good spiritual mentor in your parish.
Mm-hmm. Professional Catholics, number seven. For so long, everything in the Catholic Church was done by the professionals. Priests, bishops, sisters, and brothers were the ones who ran the parishes, dioceses, schools, and colleges. They were the ones who did all the church work. We, as lay people, Dave, we need to get busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's up to us, too. We've got to talk about Jesus as well. Our mm-hmm. priests, our deacons, our sisters, they're not in my workplace. They're not in my house.
Exactly.
That's where I have to get to work. Number eight, slack use of resources. And he talks about how many good Catholic videos languish on the shelves because people just can't be bothered to watch them and share them. How many books, pamphlets, booklets, and training courses gather dust because no one can be bothered to use them. The same for websites, diocesan seminars, seminary training days, etc., etc. There are plenty of good resources out there, and there really are. We just have to use them. Right, Dave? We have to use them.
I was just going to say, because, you know, at my parish, St. Francis Cabrini, we do a lot of these spiritual programs. And they're good. They're good.
And we have to go to these programs.
We have to go. But when we have a different one, sometimes the same people are going, you know?
Right, exactly. Let me get through these last couple of steps. Indifferentism. We need to care. We either care about bringing souls to Christ or we don't. If you've met Jesus Christ in your life, if he's been good to you, if you know him, why wouldn't you want to share him with others? We have to do that. And the 10th step, 10th reason why Catholics don't evangelize but should, universalism. The ugly twin sister of indifferentism is universalism, the teaching that God loves everyone so much that he would never send anyone to hell. In other words, in the end, everyone will be saved. Therefore, why does it matter if I tell anybody about Jesus Christ and
exactly,
his Catholic Church?
Exactly, yes. Right? Complacency in a way.
Jesus loves everybody, but he did found a church, and it's up to me and you to share that good news with other people. We will have this article linked at spiritinthemorning.com. That's 10 reasons why Catholics don't evangelize but should, by Father Dwight Longenecker. When we come back, it's going to be time for your Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Stay tuned. Don't go anywhere.
Love is what we come here for. This is why we stay. Love is what we come here for. Because
more enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
Stand right now. Everything is crashing down, and I wonder where you are. I try to find the words to pray. I don't always know what to say, but you're the one that can hear my heart.
Broken Hallelujah by the Afters. That's a really good song, isn't it? You know, sometimes when you're praying, your prayers are just that broken hallelujah. Lord, everything's going wrong in my life. I don't know where to turn. You're crying, you're screaming, whatever. The Lord wants to hear you even at those times, especially at those times. He really does care. about you, even when you're struggling. Turn to Him every day. Turn to Him every day, no matter what's going on in your life, whether you're feeling good, whether you're feeling bad. Just make sure you're talking to the Lord every day. I am Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thanks for joining us. I apologize about the lack of the ability to get John and Therese Boucher on the air today. We had some phone issues. We weren't able to connect with them. We will reschedule them for a future visit. Time for the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. Comes from the book of Leviticus. I'll tell you what, I have never used a verse from the book of Leviticus on this show before. It's sometimes going to be a very challenging book of the Bible, right, Dave?
Right.
Not one of the easier ones, but listen to this. Leviticus 26:12. Ever present in your midst, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The Lord is present with us right now. We celebrated His birth just a few weeks ago when He became flesh, when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And not only can you talk to Jesus from wherever you are, you can visit Him today in the Blessed Sacrament. If you have an Adoration Chapel or at your church, if He's reposed in the tabernacle, you can go to daily Mass and receive Him that way. And
Amen.
You can talk to Him wherever you are.
Absolutely.
So He's with you.
Yeah, driving in the car. You know, when you're doing laundry at the house.
That's
when you're
right.
at work at your desk.
And the way I like to look at it is, if I get lonely and I need to talk to Dave Parker, and I'm not in the station with him, I can give you a call, Dave,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I can call you on the cell phone.
That 1-3 a.m. call, remember that one?
No. but seriously, that's like yes. that spiritual presence. So wherever
yeah,
I am, I can talk to the Lord. But there's nothing like coming into the studio and seeing you in person.
Exactly.
You can shake my hand. I can, you know.
Exactly.
This is what happens when we visit Jesus.
Well, that's why it was good to have you back. I mean, we can do things remote, but it's,
correct.
You know, the chemistry that working together. And when the chemistry with the Lord, especially.
Right. Now, if you can't get to see Him in the Blessed Sacrament, that's okay. I mean, don't get upset about that, because not everybody can do that. You might not even be able to leave your house, and certainly He's there for you. You can pray to Him spiritually, but if you're able to get out there and visit Him in His real presence. That's really Him in the Eucharist. Please make it a point to do so. And we will have that Bible verse linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Dave, before we do our closing prayer, I just wanted to highlight some of the guests. We have been blessed since we began doing this show in October with some phenomenal guests.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's really going to continue. As I said earlier in the program, we have Father Dan Horan coming on up tomorrow to talk about his new book. Shane Kapler will be with us on Friday. Coming up next week on the program, it's going to be Father Don Calloway, who's written a great book on the rosary. You know, Father Don is the surfing priest. We've all seen pictures of him with the surfboard and the sunglasses.
Does he know Bear?
I think they do know one another.
Okay, wow.
And by the way, hold that thought about Bear.
Okay.
Tuesday, Raymond Arroyo and Father Frank Pavone. Not at the same time, but we got them both on Tuesday.
A doubleheader.
That's right. So
wow.
Father Frank's going to be talking about the upcoming March for Life.
Now you rock here, I'm telling you.
Dan Burke, the executive director of the National Catholic Register and an author, great speaker, well known for his book on spiritual direction. He's going to be joining us on Wednesday to talk about prayer and how can we pray. What's the right way? What's the wrong way? Where do I get started? Dan Burke will be with us Thursday. Shaka, aloha, it's time for Bear Wozniak. That's right, Kavika, he's coming back.
A bear sighting.
So Bear, now, Friday the 27th is the March for Life, and I would encourage you to go on the March for Life if you can. Check with your parish and see what's going on with the March for Life. It's an incredible experience. I've been there. I know how great it is. But Dave and myself, we're going to be in the studio holding down the fort here. We're going to be making some contact. We'll have some connections on the phone that day. We'll be checking in with several people. Chris Bell, who was on with us from Good Counsel Homes, he's going to be in D.C. He will be one of our correspondents in the field, giving us an idea for what's going on at the March for Life, as will a young lady. Her name is Gabby Smith. She is one of the hosts of the Wake Up program on Catholic Community Radio in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Gabby's going to be down there. She's a young person. She's going to give us the young person's perspective. She'll be talking to us directly from D.C. as well. And live from the bus, Liz Ann Pando, the president of St. Hubert's Catholic High School for Girls. Liz Ann's going to be checking in with us from the St. Hubert's bus. So we're going to they're going to be en route to the march.
As they're heading down 95?
That's right. We're going to call Liz Ann. The following week, Dr. Kevin Vost will be back with us to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit more. We're going to unpack some more of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Dr. Ray Guarendi will be here the following day, and Jeanette Bankovic will be here on Wednesday, the 1st of February. We rescheduled Jeanette. I talked to her when I was in Birmingham. I said, we want to get you. Actually, she came up to me as we were taping our series, and she said, I need to come back on Holy Spirit Radio. If you remember, she was sick last time, and she had to cancel. But Jeanette Bankovic will be here. And then on Thursday, Colleen Kelly Mast will be here. She's one of the favorites of the of our Holy Spirit Radio listeners. She will be here as well.
What does she host? Mast Appeal?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? That's the name of the show?
Mast Appeal.
Right, right. Yeah. So that's very good. So a lot of
coming
great things.
Coming from California to boot, I believe.
No, she's in Chicago.
Oh, she's in Chicago. Okay. My mistake.
So she is going to be with us. So we have lots of great guests, plus many, many more surprises coming up in the weeks to come. I hope you'll continue to stay with us on the program. And again, my apologies. My apologies to John Boucher and his wife for not being able to get in touch with them for the program. We will reschedule them in the future. And we are right about ready to close now. So why don't we close with our prayer? And I want to remind you, too, to let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. Let them know about us. And you can also find us online at spiritinthemorning.com. Let's close with our concluding prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, as a new day dawns, send the radiance of your light to shine in our hearts. Make us true to your teaching. Keep us free from error and sin. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks again for tuning in. And remember, everything we talked about today, including that fantastic article from Father Dwight Longenecker, can be found at spiritinthemorning.com. And we look forward to joining you again tomorrow with Father Dan Horan. Remember, Friday, Shane Kapler is going to be with us. Thank you so much for inviting us into your homes, your car, wherever you are, for basically inviting us into your lives. We love to be here with you. We're going to continue to be here with you. Remember, guess who else is with you? The Lord's with you. Turn around and say hi to him today. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Take care.